Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Bucks game five tonight. You can hear it on ESPN Radio. We'll talk with Stephen A. about that in a moment and more, of course. But want to get to an NFL story that just came across just a few minutes ago. It's not breaking news, but still, it's the first time we've gotten an update or any type of conversation about this, and that involves another quarterback in the NFL, Deshaun Watson. Now, remember, the Texans haven't really said much at all as he is going through his civil cases that he's dealing with right now. But because there was some availability, the new general manager, Nick Caserio, was talking yesterday, and he was on Sports Radio 610 in Houston and said this. He said, "We're taking it one day at a time and really control the things we can control." He did say that the players have been focused on their attitude, their approach in the building. They've handled everything really well. Now, when it comes to Deshaun Watson, he added, "I don't have any additional comments about anything. I think we're being respectful of what's happening, respectful of the process and everybody that's involved. The most important thing for all of us, the coaches and players, myself included, is to focus on the things we can control. As we get more information, as we get closer to training camp, we'll try to make the best decision for the Houston Texans, whatever that entails." Now, what decision would they be talking about? Of course, he does have the 22 lawsuits that still are pending that they have to resolve. But if it's not resolved by the beginning of training camp, is the decision to do what? Suspend? To trade?
I don't think they could suspend him. I think that's, you know, what are you suspending him for?
No, that's a fair point.
He's still in an investigation, civil, right? Yeah. He's in some civil mess in the situation. I don't think they could suspend him for that. I think that it would be about trading him. Decision whether to or to not trade him. I think that would be it. But who out there would be willing to take on what comes with Deshaun Watson, meaning everything from a legal standpoint to possibly being suspended by the league and not playing X amount of games at the beginning of the season? Like, who's willing to take on all of those sort of things? Because it runs deep, right? You've got to – this is an owner's decision, meaning whoever it was to – acquire him via trade, that's an owner's decision.
Yeah, you have to be
willing to
accept.
That's not a general manager or a president's decision. It's an owner's decision on whether or not that particular owner is going to sign off on everything that comes with it, because there's a lot that come with it. It's just not the player.
And let's keep in mind, too, all right, the team might not suspend him, but the league still could put him on the commissioner's exempt list.
Yes,
exactly. While this is pending.
Well, you stay lock and step with the league if you are a team. But – you know, and I understand there are a lot of things in this situation is fluid as more details come out and that the Texans are being respectful of the process. It's hard for me to imagine, though, that there wouldn't be a team out there that would see him and say, okay, we understand this is happening, but the talent speaks for itself. Yeah. I mean, I know it's challenging, but it would be hard for me to imagine a team not taking a chance on that talent.
It's been a lot of issues with players in the past for a lot of different things, a lot of different reasons that teams have said, okay, we're going to give him a second or a third or a fourth chance or whatever the case may be because they were talented. But again, not only does the owner have to sign off on it, a lot of times in these type of situations, these owners have kids, they have daughters, they have wives, all of it. They got to sign off on it because it's very difficult for an owner to be able to sit there and look at his daughters or his wife and have to listen to them scrutinize a decision that they have to make based on winning football games. And then the wife has friends who have kids and daughters and things of that nature that they now have to communicate with at their little polo lounges or wherever they might be. So it's like a whole complicated situation. It's just not, he's a talented football player, we want him.
Now, again, the story was in the Houston Chronicle. The guy who covers the Texans does a great job is John McClain. He's been covering them for a long time. But on Pro Football Talk, they talked about the only decision the Texans could make to trade Watson or not trade him. You know, again, if the lawsuits end up being resolved by then in whatever way they are, it's a pretty easy decision for them to make. But they can choose to maybe put him on placed, you know, paid, place him on paid leave you know, just basically leave him out there, and you still got to give him $10 million to not play.
But what does that? But what does that do for the Texans, though?
Well, Caserio, and that's what's interesting about why. So Caserio said nothing but said something, meaning they'll have to do something before camp starts because he said we'll do what's best for the team. So you're right. If it doesn't help them, you know, to like. If he's still going through this, you don't want him in camp, right? You don't want him part of that because you could end up losing him. You got to
move forward.
He
doesn't
want to
be in camp anyway.
He didn't want to be there also, which is why I think that's the part that works out. Until everything's resolved, you probably can't get a good deal because you're trading him now at a place where you probably can get less. You would get less for him than you would if all this stuff was resolved because the team taking him is still taking on a risk.
I still think that it's – he's been devalued. I still believe that.
It's true.
I just not necessarily. Well, it has something to do with everything that he's going through, but it's also the fact that he does not want to be there.
Right.
And he's been very clear about it. So right. When you don't want to be there and you're very clear about it, the value shrinks at that point.
Well, there's no doubt about that. All right, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, we're brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Is your dad's razor older than you are? Get him something new for Father's Day, a DSE 6-blade razor. Is perfect for an extra close, precise shave. Get one now at a store near you or as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/KJZ. That's dollarshaveclub.com/KJZ. So game five tonight. Nets and Bucks, and the one thing we do know about this game is the Nets will be down. Their big three is now down to a one, and that is Kevin Durant. And you can hear that game tonight on ESPN Radio. And Stephen A. Smith, of course, from First Take and Stephen A.'s World, joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline to talk about this and several other things, including Stephen A. So Keyshawn and I, you might know, are filling in on First Take later this week, Thursday and Friday. And I've asked Key, I've said to him, I see how these guys are suited and booted, and I feel like, you know, we got to bring it when it comes to attire, and Key is telling me that that's not necessary. I feel like I've got to step it up a notch and, you know, put on the suit. What is your advice for me here?
That's good. That's good sound advice on your part there. You definitely have to step it up. I mean, especially since, you know, I've seen you on the MSG network and you suited and booted there. So why would you show up on First Take and not live up to that kind of imagery that you created? That's number one. In the case of Keyshawn Johnson, normally I would say that he's right. You know what? That's not necessary. But I have to confess, I've been quite disappointed in Keyshawn Johnson's wardrobe. I must confess this. Now, Keyshawn, for those of you who don't know, Keyshawn and I go back a long, long ways, okay? And Keyshawn used to own this fabulous restaurant off of Robinson in L.A. and the whole bit. And I used to see this brother suited and booted. Keyshawn was dressed to the nines all the time. I do not understand how you could be dressed to the nines when you own in a restaurant. I do not understand you could be dressed to the nines when you walking into a stadium on a Sunday afternoon for a football game. But somehow, some way, you're going to be on the airwaves for 2 hours to 4 hours every weekday, and you never suited and booted. I have been very disappointed in the wardrobe of Keyshawn Johnson. I just need to say that.
Stephen A., I respect your opinion on all matters, but I'm not wearing no damn suit to talk sports. I'm sorry. It ain't going to happen. Whatever I'm wearing on KJZ is what I'm going to be wearing, filling in for you and Max on First Take.
I'm just saying, you know what? You're a role model. You're a brilliant brother, smart businessman.
Man, don't try that. Stephen A. Don't try that.
Build him up.
Don't try that with me, Stephen A.
You got kids out there looking up to you. Everybody can't come to work dressed like that.
That's right.
And progress.
Well,
That's right.
They better go to class then. They better go to school and graduate then.
You could set the example.
They better go to school and graduate.
You could set the example. That's all I'm trying to say.
I'm setting the example right here. Now, I'm going to get you with this. I'm setting the example right here, being one of the first black radio host in sports on the national airways. Now, I'm setting a damn example. Don't get me started.
Don't you get me started. No. He's right about that. He is right about that. Absolutely, positively is true. I'll give you credit for that. But you also know that, especially initially, presentation matters, and that's the kind of message we should be sent.
Okay, SA, can we talk about presentation? Can we talk about presentation tonight?
What kind of presentation
do you need to see from Kevin Durant tonight?
If you remember, one of the most famous quotes that I've ever given was in 2001 when I called for the Lakers to win in five games with Shaq in his prime and Kobe there as well. And everybody like, what? And I said, wait a minute. They said, what about a sweep? I said, AI will get you one. Now, my attitude is maybe that spoiled me. But if a six-foot guard, 160 pounds, soaking wet, can knock off Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal in one game in an NBA Finals, I don't think it's too much to ask for arguably the greatest scorer this game has ever seen in Kevin Durant to get us one game in Brooklyn. I don't think you can win the series without Kyrie. I don't think you can win the series without James Harden both. No question. Kevin Durant ain't going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks by himself for the series. But he should be able to get you game five. And if he can get you game five, then you can really rest, obviously, Kyrie, because he can't go, and possibly James Harden. At least one of them have a better possibility of winning game seven, because you damn sure going to lose game six back in Milwaukee. Mm. Get game five.
Let's get
KD. You should be able to get you one.
Let's get out of Brooklyn and head back west. So the Clippers, the best team left in the playoffs?
I'm not ready to say that. I think that the Clippers still lose the series if Mike Conley finds his way into the lineup, because I think they go back and protect their home court for game five. And I think they could still win this series in seven games, which I originally picked them to do anyway. The Clippers are playing well right now. Paul George has really stepped up his game and deserves a lot of props. But at the end of the day, when you look at Utah's size, their defensive prowess, their ability to shoot threes, along with Donovan Mitchell being that star that he is, if he's healthy enough to play and Mike Conley finds his way back into the lineup, I still think Utah wins this series.
S.A., why do I get so frustrated when I watch Philadelphia? Like last night, once probably up 18
underachievers.
Points. Yeah, right.
Mm. Underachievers. I mean, every time you expect something from them, something happens. Like, for example, I understand Embiid was hurt last night, but you on the court, you couldn't find a way to get to the foul line? I mean, 0 for 12 in the second half? Really? You couldn't find a way to get one basket? I mean, if you're on the court, I mean, I understand that you're not healthy, but you were healthy enough to be on the court, or you were healthy enough to take 12 shots. You couldn't make one in the second half? So I look at it from that standpoint, and then I think about Tobias Harris, who's had an outstanding year. I think about Seth Curry, who can shoot. I think about Ben Simmons, who's supposed to be that star, even though we all know he can't shoot. And I'm saying, wait a minute, he had an 18-point lead. 18 points, and you lost it. Inexcusable. Doc Rivers pointed to hero ball. That's a legitimate argument about it. But I can look at other things and say, look, you just didn't get it done. They got to step their game up, and they got to handle their business. They have to win game five, because I think that series goes seven games if they win game five. I think the home team, Atlanta's going to win game six, just like I know Milwaukee will win game six, just like I think the Clippers will win game six Friday back in L.A. So if you're those respective teams going up against them, you have got to win on your home floor in game five.
Stephen A., I know you got to run. We appreciate you, and I promise you I've already got the suit ready to go for Thursday. I'll make you proud.
All right. Do that. Keyshawn, step it up, bro. Step it up. Later.
Be well.
All right, SA.
Stephen A. on the Goodyear Hotline. I don't make even like a 100th of what
I meant
makes.
To tell Stephen, when they start paying me like that. Mm-hmm.
We shall see. Are you buying it? Because I think he shows up to the nines.
To the nines? No.
Yeah.
No,
I'm wearing whatever I'm wearing.
I don't buy it.
I mean, Key honestly goes on, even when he was doing First Take before, I mean, he would just go on what he had from our show.
What?
But you should dress up, Alan. Like look, I said, you.
No.
Yeah, of course.
Do you?
I've already told you guys. I have the mirror anxiety every day. Doesn't matter.
I'll be an embarrassment.
I just, make sure.
Whatever you want to call it.
that I look as best I can and then just hope that it doesn't make you look bad.
No, it ain't going to never make me look bad. I look good with a tank top on. I can put on a tank top and rock it. Doesn't even matter.
Hmm. Okay.
Why are you looking at me?
No, I'm just looking at you.
Yeah.
Like, were you waiting for me to validate the tank top comment?
No.
Okay.
I
didn't know what I was supposed to say.
I thought you were going to say something. No, you usually chime in, you know?
I know. Well, I backed you. I already backed
you. Can you see him, though? Like he's been in Brooklyn long enough now where he's just sitting, like, on his stoop with
a tank top.
With
a tank top on and a cocktail? Yeah, outside, hot summer day?
No, that's – I'm not doing
that. Hey, get off my lawn!
No, that's all good.
No? Okay. Well, but tonight, though, as we talked about earlier, you know, Stephen A. touched on it a little bit. KD can get you one, Jay. He can get you, right? He should, like, can he get you one? What does the – but
I feel bad for him, though.
Is it a no-win situation for him?
Because, no, I just feel bad for him because it's this pressure that people are trying to put on him based on him being Superman. And if he doesn't get it, then everybody going to give the CCC. That's why I feel bad.
You already know how it's all set up.
Yeah, set up.
It's set up for him to fail. Because, you know, people
you
are not
understand it, though, right? Like, if we're going to talk about you with reverent tones, then you are going to have to, in these moments, give you a superhero kind of performance.
No, he can do it. I get it. But if he does not do it, I just hate the way people are going to try and spin
it
the next morning.
Depends on how it looks. I think it depends on how it looks. If he goes down firing and just, you know, like, and no one around him is doing anything and he loses, like, you just tip your cap. Like, man, you did all you could.
So here's
if he's 1-for-7 or 1-for-8 again.
Though, dog, you got to think about all the same people that the same. Okay, so one thing they're going to do is they're going to bring up whatever negativity, whether it's, see, he couldn't do it, that's why he went to Golden State. See, he couldn't do it, that's he's sensitive. He got a burner, blah, blah. That's what they're going to do to him.
Here's where it
that's
is also,
why I don't
Loki.
Like it.
Okay. Here's the ultimate setup, too, though. I mean, look, AI is right there. But, you know, we put Kevin Durant in a conversation for the greatest scorer the game has ever seen, right? So when that's your label, I kind of feel a little bit what Stephen A. Smith is saying. I'm not saying I'm going to put it all on KD to get you one, but you are – it comes into the game with this expectation that KD has to do something superhuman. I get it. It's unfair.
It's unfair, though.
I get it. It's unfair.
It really truly is.
Every star has to have a signature game. This could be his.
And he done had plenty of them.
Well, think about
this could be one that
think about what we did to LeBron. Same thing this year, right? Like when AD wasn't there, it's like, I need LeBron to score.
Right.
I need him to take 25 shots.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
It did what happened. Oh, he's getting a year older. See? Da 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 da. That's this moment that he didn't deliver. But, became a problem.
Okay. That happens to the greats, man.
But is that not also part of where they're at right now? This was their best. Could be. Their best opportunity to win a championship if they could stay healthy.
Man, he's
because
out there,
next year
right?
You've got a whole marathon of 82 games and getting through that. And in the East, will teams like Boston, will teams like the Wizards, teams that weren't as good. Toronto goes back to playing at home again.
In Toronto.
Does that affect – do they get
your
back
Knicks,
to being
you
Toronto?
Your in there?
Well, no, because who knows what they're going to do this offseason. All right? I'm talking about teams that we already know are established. Like, those teams are going to be better. And if you're Brooklyn, the road could be harder for you next year. This would be the time, like right now, to get it done. Because, yes, Key, you do get a year older.
Yeah,
the group does get a year older.
But it's unfair to Kevin Durant to build this game five up and he doesn't win the game or he has a subpar shooting performance or anything other than a W to come up the next day and start talking like hella negative about Kevin Durant.
But there's a history.
There's a history of us doing it to
LeBron James. I mean, we've done it to LeBron
James.
I didn't like it either.
Why should he be exempt from this? Why? Why should he be exempt
from this? It's not about being exempt. It's about being real. Let's be real with it. He's undermanned. And you expect for him to go 1-on-3 superstar all-star players. One guy with three. We act like Milwaukee walking around with trash.
Milwaukee's one of the best teams in the league.
Nobody's acting like that.
You are not you, but people are acting that way if they think that Kevin Durant is supposed to put on a cape and just roll him up.
But you know why, Keith? Because for the first two games, people were like, when it was just KD and Kyrie, like, oh, this would have been a swap. The Bucks aren't that good. Yeah. That's where it's all set up for.
Your building, your fans.
Yeah, but 2-on-3 is two of Kyrie and KD against three of them. Okay. One KD against three of them.
I get it. Well, Steve Nash keeps saying we can't be predictable. I'm like, I don't know how you are not going to be predictable.
Let's take Sean in Dallas on this. Sean?
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas, man? Hey, look, I'm a big-time LeBron James fan, and, you know, we get that same type of hate all the time, like he was saying. But Kevin Durant, that's all I need. Even if he goes out there and have an utter word from him, even if he lose, you won't hear nothing from me. I just need him to have an utterworldly performance. That's all I need from Kevin Durant.
Thank you, Sean. That's all I'm saying. Kevin Durant does. It's what we expect of the greatest of the greats. I agree. Why do we watch? Because we want to be inspired. Like, so let me see something. Well, here's a chance for a signature performance by KD. I'll ask you this, and I know we're late, but I'm asking anyway, both of you. Who is this game more important to, legacy-wise, Giannis or KD?
Giannis, to me.
Who's the one that you're like, he better bring it? I mean, Giannis got to win this game.
Giannis has to win. I mean, this game is bigger for the Bucks, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's all Giannis in the Bucks.
Like, I still think, like, KD, full force, I know what those three are together.
Yep.
When they're the best team in the world. The Bucks, I'm not sure about. Like, this is their best opportunity and chance, considering two guys are hurt, so to get a title.
Yeah, so take advantage of that situation, right? That's the most important part of it.
Because if KD does come out and he is out of this world performance and they do get a win, Do you know what's going to happen to Giannis and the Bucks tomorrow? You know what the media is going to do to them?
Yeah, they're going
to
be in trouble.
Yeah, no, but that's why we watch. This is why we watch. We want to see the stars, and we want to see them under pressure. We want to see the performance. That's the whole idea. That's what the NBA has been built off for the last 30 years.
Get Perkins on line two for Giannis.
Yeah, no, that's a big, big game for Giannis tonight, no doubt about that. All right, coming up next, Major League Baseball laying down the law. No more sticky stuff. We'll tell you what it means next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Everybody in baseball has known this has been going on.
There's been 12 or more guys already whose spin rates have magically dropped. So it's not just Garrett Cole.
Have you ever used Spider Tap while pitching?
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
I need help with the reference here.
Well, yeah,
I'm going to need some serious help with the reference here. Well, I know the song.
Yeah, I don't understand
the timing of it.
Okay. Feliz Navidad.
Tatis
okay. Navidad. Now I got
Let's
it.
Explain.
I got
Keyshawn
it. That's
Zuber
an awesome shirt,
by Progressive
Jeff.
Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline.
That's so good.
And now, yes.
We need a shirt. We need a Tatis Navidad shirt.
So, Jeff Bassett,
make it happen.
Let me explain to those listening who don't have ESPN News or don't have it on right now. Jeff Passan joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Jeff is wearing a Tatis Navidad T-shirt as Fernando Tatis Jr. is just, would you say, is he raking? Is he mashing? Jeff, help me out. What is the proper terminology?
Killing Major League Baseball.
I believe the kids say blowing up.
Oh, he's blowing up.
Is how I don't know if the kids actually say that.
Yeah.
Let's pretend they do.
I don't know if they actually. All I know is my kid has like three or four different Tatis T-shirts. And if a stranger sees him like multiple days in a row, they'll wonder if I'm an abusive parent who only buys his child Tatis T-shirts. But I swear, like, he's asking for them. This is not me like foisting baseball on the child. Tatis just you put his face with the Santa hat on the T-shirt and it looks awesome. Like, it's fantastic.
You know what's even better is that you have Tatis and you have Vlad Guerrero basically leading both leagues in home runs. And I feel like is this like 1997? Like, it's amazing to see like the legacies and how they're playing in the second generation.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it is like 1997 and 98 without like the controversy. And yet here we are on the cusp of something different. Like, at least this time it's pitchers, and Guerrero and Tatis are overcoming what the pitchers are bringing these days.
Seamless transition as we go into your report today, or last night, actually, the report and the story appearing today about Major League Baseball. Yes, of course. But don't pull a rotator cuff while doing that. We'll suspend its players with the foreign substance. The Spider Tech now becoming something. I did research. I don't know if you know this, Jeff. Spider Tech was actually originally designed for men who apparently lift boulders over their head. Strongman type competition stuff. That's what it's for. And instead, it's become, we go from Atlas to the baseball. But somehow this is an issue, and then MLB is cracking down on it starting Monday.
But 10 days with pay, though, Jeff? Like, what's the point of even doing anything?
You hurt your team, though.
Yeah, I mean, here's the reason that it's 10 days with pay. Baseball's a precedent-based discipline system. And in this precedent-based discipline system, when there is on-field discipline for something that you did on the field, it historically has been with pay. And so fighting against that, while still trying to get this thing instituted, if you're going to the players and telling them, not only are we going to suspend you, but we're going to take your money away, the fight is going to be epic. And if Rob Manfred wants to institute this and get the players on board, he needs to get it as good as possible, as early as possible. And yet already, guys, while I think the general consensus is that they want to get rid of Spider Tack and, you know, for lack of a better term, like these industrial type adhesives, pitchers, hitters, even people in front offices also want players to have something available to them if they're like, I mean, this is going to sound weird, like if they're heavy sweaters. Think about guys in June and July, and especially August when the humidity goes up. Yeah. If they have sweat and they have nothing except rosin to dry it out, it could be problematic. And I know that they have relied on this idea that we're going to hurt someone or we want control over the last few years to sort of be an excuse for them using these hi-fi substances. But now when you go from, it's like a pitcher told me yesterday, if we go from 100 to 0, people are going to get hurt. And it's not just the batters at the plate, guys. It's the pitchers themselves, too, who suddenly need to tinker with new grips and figure things out and hold the ball harder and not go through what had become their natural motion. And I don't envy MLB here. It's in a bad position, but it's also a position from its inaction over the last few years of its own making.
Jeff, how is Major League Baseball going to work with the umps to try to figure out how to police the situation? Like, you can't check everywhere all the time, so how is that going to go down?
The umps, I'm going to say, are a lot like TSA. everybody who comes into the game has to go through at least one check at some point. And every pitcher, I mean, who comes into the game is going to have to go through at least one check. Then you're also going to have your random checks as well. So, you know, maybe after the third inning, maybe after the fifth inning. I'm not sure how these random checks are going to be instituted. MLB sending a memo out today that's informing teams, players, and umpires as to what the exact specifics of the rules are going to be. But there's going to be a lot of pressure on umpires, and the onus is going to be on them to search in places where you wouldn't necessarily think. I mean, if let's put it this way, if a player is sort of surreptitiously reaching inside of his waistband and an umpire notices this, then an umpire's going to have to look inside dude's pants. Like, that's just the reality of where we are these days in baseball, and they're going to try and keep it as unobtrusive as possible by doing it in between the innings. But I'm fascinated to see how this actually works in real time and whether the umpires are on board, the players are on board, and if it slows down the game too.
Hey, Frazee!
I just wanted to take a second there, just let that breathe for a second, Jeff.
Just let that marinate.
My Yankees obviously had a horrible series against the Phillies, open up today against the Blue Jays. What are we expecting? I mean, the Yankees just don't have a powerful offense. There's so many issues that are going on here, Jeff. Can you talk me through it?
No, I think you need a therapist for that.
Wow.
I can tell you that, yeah. I mean, I know. Like, here's the thing. What I'm going to tell you, you're not going to like. Their offense is one-dimensional, and it stinks. Their pitching isn't particularly deep and isn't good enough to be the panacea that they need because their offense is as mediocre as it is. And there's a lot of butchery going on in the field, and their base running's awful. Hmm. Like, they're just not a good baseball team right now. And I don't think they're as bad as they've shown at this point. I really do think they're better, but maybe that's my own bias where I'm looking and relying on the idea that these are all really talented players when some of them may be regressing. I just look at Judge and Stanton and LeMahieu, and when he comes back, Luke Voit. I see these names, and I have a difficult time reconciling the idea that the New York Yankees, with them and with Gerrit Cole at the top of the rotation, with the bullpen as deep as they are as mediocre a team as they are. But, guys, the numbers don't lie, and the eye test doesn't either. And they just don't pass either of those musters right now.
Mm. Wow. Can't hit, can't field, yep. Can't pitch.
What
aside from
do?
That, as Michael Kay would say, how'd you like to play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yeah. Jeff, Jacob deGrom starts tomorrow night. It'll be his 194th career start. He has an opportunity, obviously, to lower that ERA under 2.50, he would be in the company of Tom Seaver, along with, I like to call him, Clayton Kershaw, Kershizer, better yet. What can he do to get that done?
Keep doing the exact same thing that he's been doing all year. I had an interesting debate last night. I have a 13-year-old who's very opinionated. You'll be shocked to learn. And my dad's in town, too. And they were arguing back and forth. My son was taking the position that if Jacob deGrom goes out and wins a Cy Young Award this year, then he should be in the Hall of Fame. And you think a guy with less than 100 career wins, you know, historically, you got to have at least 200 to get in the Hall of Fame. And the argument that I made to back him up, because I think he's probably right, is that Jacob deGrom is Sandy Koufax. And when you look at the career parallels, you know, Koufax's career was essentially 4 unbelievable years, 6 really, really good years, 10 total years. And deGrom was a guy whose career got started late. And he ends up coming up and has just been dominant from the jump. Like, to have an ERA of under 2.50. I understand the era that we're in right now where pitching is dominating. But if you go look at ERA Plus, which adjusts for era, DeGrom stacks up with some of the best of all time. And to hear those names, Seaver and Kershiser, I mean, it's pretty amazing that that Jacob DeGrom has been able to do what he's done.
You get it, Alan?
What? Kershiser? I heard Kershiser. Kershiser, but then I heard the Kershawn also, as if, you know, in your level of greatness.
I was just trying to back you up there. I think it's a terrible nickname. But
why? It's two great Dodger pitchers. What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Jeff,
thank you for being
so
the voice of
proud
reason.
Of himself when he delivered that he wanted me to react so badly because you didn't. That's where we're at right now at this point
the
show.
The smirk on Key's face when he said the name.
The best I could do. Stop, man.
You came in with the T-shirt. I'll let you leave with a little more dignity than having to react to this dignity right now. Jeff, thanks so much as always for the time.
All right, JP.
See you, boys.
Jeff, passing on the Goodyear.
Tatis Navidad.
Now we get the song, but it was the Oral Hershiser.
Kershiser.
You know who Oral Hershiser is?
Yes. Stop.
Well aware of who he is.
Yes, we're good.
You know what year he won the World Series for us? All right, go ahead.
Yeah, that'll be 1988.
All right, just saying.
Call the Roulette coming up next, 888-SAY-ESPN. If you can come up with a better nickname at all for anyone, please do. Anyways, we'll do that next after Key has this from O'Reilly Scheiser.
Jeez.
Oh, my goodness.
You know they're going to call and complain about you saying
How dare you make fun of us?
Yes. When you need auto parts, O'Reilly.com. No, wait. O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away.
Get it right.
They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online or O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up. It's the way it's written. Be quiet, man. And pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to the curbside for you, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, before we get to the calls, we do have some interesting news to get to you. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin brought to you by Mako. With Mako and their magic, your car's no longer tragic. If life throws you uh-ohs, just say better get Mako and head to Mako.com. Get an online estimate today. Woj tweeting out just a few minutes ago, the Nets have upgraded James Harden to doubtful for Game 5. Now, why is that important? Because doubtful still sounds like he's not going to play.
I think he's going to play tonight.
But he went from being out to doubtful.
I think he's going to play tonight. I think he's going to give it a go.
It's
my opinion. I didn't hear this from anybody. I just, you know, it's game five. Why are you laughing?
I was laughing because you said you hear from anybody. I said, yes, we don't want to say we heard anything.
You're allowed to hear from you, man.
No one told me this. No one said
this. It's all right. We good, man. I'm just saying, like, it would be hard for me to think.
But this shows you the urgency behind this game. They know they're home. And even if he gave you a couple of minutes.
And exactly. He knows that Kevin Durant is the long ranger out there. So why not? If I feel I could go, why not give it a go, especially right now? Because if I can't go today, then maybe I can't go in game six.
I mean, my thing is, right? there's no reason to change the language. If he's out, he's out. If he's out, he's out. You don't have to change the language to doubtful.
Now, of course, doubtful still means, like, he could try, you know, maybe he goes into warm-ups to see how he feels right before the game. And then
Why do I even need to say anything?
Gamesmanship.
That would be
you
the
want
only
to put that
but,
idea
but by
in their,
the way,
in
but
their
by
head?
The way, dude, these coaches are so great at making adjustments. I mean, come on, man. Like, all right, I see the starting lineup. James Harden isn't playing. Okay, we'll adjust. We're okay. Yeah.
So you don't do
I mean,
that
you can't really
eight,
trick me in warm-ups.
That's
you
know what I'm saying.
I'm watching you.
I'm watching you, right?
You don't look right, bro. We're okay.
That doesn't work?
No.
No. Jay's not playing. Oh, really?
Oh, that throws
Are you sure? Because he's out there warming up.
Our whole game plan is done
hey,
now.
Stop. It just throws one more thing for the Bucks to think about. No?
Come
no.
on.
No.
It'll be okay.
I can see you in warm-ups like Jay say.
And
moving well.
If James Harden is going to play, if I'm Drew Holiday, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get in
yeah,
you.
Come get
it's
this.
Time to get in you. Let's yeah. see how good that hamstring is.
Well, you want
to
run, make him run
all
a ton.
All day, sprint, play fast.
You want to also basically make him drive, like just take away his just catch and shoot.
And
make
I check him,
put,
full court, 94
right.
feet.
Then make him work.
I'm going to turn you three or four times before you get to half court. Let's have some fun with it. Let's see how good
yeah,
that wheel is.
It's a little intrigue, though, at least to tonight. Really exciting. Again, 8 p.m. Eastern, ESPN
Thank
Radio.
Goodness. We got one game
for
tonight.
The coverage.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I don't
These
have that
games
second
kicking my tail, man.
Yeah, that second game is always rough to get through.
On y'all, you worked?
No. We work. Now we have, since the Utah lost last night, now we have games Thursday and Friday. We won't find out where we're actually going for NBA Countdown until those games are over. We could be going to Phoenix for the first round, or we could be going to Utah.
Well, you know round. You're going to you know
Either
you're
Phoenix,
going to Phoenix
or Utah, Western Conference
What
Finals.
You want to know, is it going to be
self-serving? LA. Self-serving.
Starting in Phoenix, or is it starting in Utah?
Oh, I see where it's starting. Yes. Gotcha. All right. Well, let's get now. Let's start. Call a roulette. Spin it. Line two. Really?
Okay, line two.
Just take the air right out of the room.
Spin it.
Spin it.
128 degrees in Phoenix.
A little
right
toasty.
There?
Yeah, a little toasty. There. Line three.
You're going to come back looking like me.
Jeez. All right. No line three.
What is going on?
Spin it again. Come on.
Third time's the charm.
Purple.
Line six.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Hey,
what's up, man?
What's up?
I knew I broke the rule about asking how y'all doing. But anyway, hey, big Jazz fan here, and I'm in some pain right now. I'm like your Yankees. I feel like crap. I need someone to tell me something. But anyway, last night was terrible.
Give him some positive news about the Jazz. Are the Jazz in trouble? What positive news can you give him about the Jazz?
Dwayne Wade is part owner.
Need Mike Conley back.
I mean, home cooking. You go home, you got to defend home court. That's where they play their best basketball to begin with. So I still think the Jazz are okay. I wonder how old he was.
Sounded like Evan.
He also broke the rule, too. Asked how we were doing.
All right, spin it.
I mean, that's the first rule.
I like that he apologized.
Yeah, spin real quick. Quick spin. Keep ass. Line five. Man, we had a bad day.
Who's line five?
Oh, forget it. Bad day on the calls. Terrible day on the calls. Woj, more on Woj. So Harden expected to test the hamstring and shoot around today. Has been determined to try and find a way to get cleared for game five. That's according to source to ESPN. No guarantees on his status, but Harden is trying to play in game five tonight with the series tied at two.
Shoot like Blake
so
Griffin.
So you definitely want to catch that game tonight. I take hit the loose ball. Coverage on ESPN Radio tonight.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.